So Merry Christmas, everyone. What a beautiful day, this glorious day of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And it truly is a celebration, right? We are called to Mass to celebrate an event. Jesus Christ is showing up so the party can begin, right? That's what we do. We don't simply come to Mass to be passive and to be watching a show, but rather to fully celebrate in the celebration, right? In the same sense that nobody goes to a party and they're like, I'm just going to hang out in the back. You guys have your thing. I'm going to sit in the corner. Don't bother me. I'm just going to watch. Right? No, everyone wants to get in the party. Right? You even go to weddings. Everyone's on the dance floor and there's like that one guy watching, like kind of tapping his foot. He's like, oh, I really want to get out there. Right? It's the same with this Mass today. Every Mass, we are called to celebrate the goodness of God. The fact that a Savior was indeed born for each one of us. And see, the amazing thing about that is the fact that mind-blowingly, God became man, right? Prior to this event, God was up in His throne in heaven. And God seemed very distant from the people. And when God left that throne and became man, became one of us, He redefined everything. Right? How did He redefine us? He redefined us in the fact that God became man so that men could become like God. That we are no longer called to simply live a human existence. Right? We all know in the depths of our being that we are not called to be mediocre. Right? We all know that we're not called to simply survive and then hope that we kind of slip into heaven. Or we all know in the depths of our being that when we wake up in the morning and we're like, something's missing. I go to bed at night and I'm like, why am I still not satisfied? Why do I always feel like I'm searching? Right? Because we're all trying to be defined. And this trying to define ourselves begins at a very young age. Right? We start associating, we define colors and numbers and people, mommy, daddy, uncle, aunt, sibling. And then eventually we start trying to define ourselves as people with groups. I'm in this group, I'm in that group. We get to high school and eventually we start discerning college and we're like, who am I? How do I define who I am? As we get older, what defines me even as a husband or a wife? And see, we hear this thing our entire lives is you can be anything you want to be if you set your mind to it, which is true. You can, but you can only do anything you want to be that you set your mind to if it's what God desires you to do, if what He made you to do, if He defines you. Right? Here's a cold, hard fact. I'm 5'8", maybe in the morning on a good day, 5'8 and a half. I'm 170 pounds. It doesn't matter probably how much I practice. I'm probably not going to ever make it to the NFL. Right? It's just not going to happen. I need like another foot and like another 200 pounds. And skill. Okay, I have none of those. Again, I'm 5'8", maybe 5'8 and a half on a good day, 170 pounds. I can't dunk. I don't have hops. I'm probably not going to make it to the NBA. As much as I would try, as much as I'd really try to push myself and say, no, that's who I want to be. I'm going to define myself that way. I will always be disappointed. Every time. Because humans cannot define themselves. We cannot define ourselves. When we try to define who we are, always disappointed. We have to allow God to define us. And so this idea of defining ourselves, when we do it improperly, again, we wake up unsatisfied every day. In fact, when I think of this idea of defining ourselves, I think it to about 6.5 months ago, because as I said, I've been a priest 6 months, so it was right before I got ordained. I was over in a char house getting dinner. I was with myself, a buddy of mine, and his fiance, and we were getting some steaks, which I love steak. I could eat that every meal. And so I was there, and I was not in my priest clothes. I was in casual clothes, not the priest clothes, like black, and more black, right? Which, by the way, black is very slimming, so it's great. right? And so I wasn't in my priest clothes, I was in casual clothes. So the waitress comes over, she's very nice, and she's taking our order, and we're talking a little bit. And near the end of the meal, right before the check comes, she comes over and I say, "Hey, quick question," because I wanted to talk to her. I do that, talk to people. And I said, "Oh, where are you from?" Because she had an accent. She said, "I'm from Greece." I said, "Awesome. How long have you been here in America?" She said, "Well, I grew up in Greece, and I came here when I was 30, and I've been here 12 years. Said, "Awesome. Great. Okay. Well, question of the day is, what's better, Greece or America? Which one do you like better?" And she says, "America." "Nice. America." I said, "Why is America to you better? Why do you like it more?" She says, "Well, in Greece, if I wear my bracelets and my earrings and my anklets and my other jewelry, and if I dress a certain way, people judge me. And they'll like call me names, and I'll be judged a lot. I'll be looked down upon." She says, "So people in America don't do that. They're less judgmental." I said, "Oh, okay." So she walks away. I'm like, "That was interesting." She comes back a few minutes later and she says, "You know, they might be less judgmental in America, but you know, there is one problem with America." I said, "Oh, what's the problem?" She says, "Nobody in America learns anything." I said, "Well, what does that mean, nobody learns anything?" She says, "Everyone in America is too busy on their tablets, on their iPhones, on their iPads, on their Androids. And so everyone's too busy looking into the screen that they're not learning anything." And so for some reason, I just looked at her and I said, "I learn things. I do, I learn things." And she goes, "What?" I said, "Yeah, I just got a master's degree. That's learning." And she goes, "What are you going to do with it?" I'm like, "It's a little snippy. Don't even know you." I said, I'm going to be a priest. She goes, she looks at me and she goes, "No, you're not." I'm like, "Yeah, I am. I'm going to be a priest." And she goes, "You're just joking with me. You're not going to be a priest." And I was like, Who jokes about that? Who's the great comedian joking about being a priest? What? And so I said, "No, I really am going to be a priest." She's like, "You're just joking." So she walks away. So I get my phone out and I'm like going on Facebook and I pull up a picture of me from graduation, cap, gown, holding a degree in priest clothes. So she comes back over and I'm like, "There it is. Me, cap, gown, degree, priest clothes." And she goes, "Oh, you are going to be a priest." "Yes, I am." And then she looks at me and she gets very serious. And she says, "Are you going to be one of those priests who," and she pauses, "are you going to be one of those priests who," and I was like, "It's okay, you can ask whatever." She says, "Are you going to be one of those priests who, if someone does something wrong, you're going to tell them to leave the church?" And I looked at her and I said, "Oh, God, no. No, of course not. I would do the opposite. I would tell them to come back to the church. I would say, whatever you did, let's get to confession and receive the Eucharist. And the whole church is made up of sinners, all desiring mercy. It's not made up of a bunch of perfect people. It's a hospital for broken people." I would say the opposite. "Let's give him love. Sit down." She said, "Okay, I don't know." She said, It's just really hard for me. Like, I don't know. I used to have this thing about me, and people always told me I was so happy and I had this aura, and I could feel God, and I had that for so long, and now I just feel like it's gone. I like don't feel that anymore." I said, "Well, you know, God still does love you." She goes, "No, I know he does. I know that God's everywhere with me. And I know he's like, when I'm there, when I'm in my house, and when I'm working, and when I'm driving, I know God loves me. He's everywhere." And I said, "No, like, you don't understand. Like, God really, like, loves you. And, like, he wants to give you, like, radical love, like, like roller coaster love, like up and down in the stomach, leaving the chest and heart beating, like you're just like so alive with it, on fire, that you're just receiving so much love. So that's what God wants to give you. She just looked at me and she said, I still don't know. I don't know. I mean, I haven't like cried in years. She's just very honest. She said, I haven't cried in years. I just looked at her and I said, man, that's sad. Sad. I said, you know what? I'm going to be a priest in 2 weeks. I'm going to be in St. Charles, Illinois. It's not too far. Why don't you just meet me in my office? We'll sit down and talk a little bit and we can just cry. We'll just cry. It'll be therapeutic. You need to cry if you've been cried for years. She goes, I don't know. I mean, it's just my heart. Like, my heart is like, I just looked at her and I said, is your heart numb? Is it numb? Does it feel numb? She goes, yeah, my heart feels numb. I don't feel anything. I said, you know what? There's this part of the Bible that says that God wants to remove a stony heart and put in a new heart. Like, God wants to do that for you. He wants to remove your stony heart and give you a new one and give you that roller coaster. She's listening and she's getting closer. And all of a sudden, I felt like the Holy Spirit kind of giving me a little bit of speaking a little bit and telling me maybe she was like divorced now and maybe had a couple kids she was trying to care for. And so I looked at her and I said, you know, what I think maybe the problem is maybe you've been loved a lot by some guys, maybe a lot of guys you've been loved by, and then after they loved you, they hurt you. I said, so you've been loved, but then by so many people after they loved you, you've been hurt, and so you've received a lot of bad love, and so you associate love with pain, and so you've closed your heart off, and you're afraid to love because you've received bad love. I said, but, oh man, there's this guy named Jesus Christ, and all he wants to do is give you good love. Love that you don't need to be afraid of. Love that isn't going to love you and then leave you. Love that's not going to use you and abuse you and then leave you alone. Love that's never going to condemn you or tell you you're worthless or anything like that. He's simply going to give you good love. That's all he desires. And her eyes were so open, and she just was so receptive, and she was moving closer in. And so I said, you know what? Like I said, I'm going to be a priest in 2 weeks. So on June 4th is my ordination, and June 5th I'm doing my first Mass in Crystal Lake, and it's not that far. I said, 2:30 June 5th, you need to go to my first Mass. You just need to go. You're going to go. And I said, and when you go to the Mass, I'm going to preach at the Mass. And I don't know what I'm going to say. I haven't even started preparing yet. It's in 2 weeks. But I'm going to preach, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak directly to you. And He's going to remove your stony heart and give you a new heart and simply give you that good love that you want so much. She looks at me and she says, okay. Yeah, I'll go. It's awesome. So we exchanged emails and stuff and Facebook, and we contacted back and forth. And the day of my first Mass came, and there was about 800 people there, and I was looking into the congregation trying to find her, and I couldn't see her anywhere, and I was feeling discouraged, like, man, she's not here. She was really on my heart, you know? So I'm giving out communion, telling people the body of Christ, and the last person to come up, you know, there she was. She came there. And so as she was there, I was like, man, I bet the Lord is doing big things. I don't know, but I hope He is. Fast forward like a month, she'd been too busy to meet, and so I went back to the char house, kind of forgetting that she had worked there. It just wasn't on my mind. And she sees me, and the first second she sees me, she like starts crying. She's like, I think about that good love every day. I was like, praise God. That's all He wants to do, is give you good love. You see, for most of her life, I bet, she was defined by the bad love. She was defined by people who loved her and then hurt her and then left her. And so that's the wound she functioned from. So she was never satisfied. And so many of us do that. We define ourselves with the improper things, whether it's bad love, or we define ourselves by our sin, and we say, I am liar, I am adulterer, I am drinker, and we define ourselves by our brokenness. But that's not what God desires to do. God became man so that man could become like God, and so He redefines us. And He says, define yourself by my good, good love, the fact that you're my son and daughter, and God's love will never hurt you. And so the beautiful thing about the gospel message is that no matter where we are in our faith journey, whether we go to Mass every day, or we go to Mass every Sunday, or we go to Mass twice a year, or we haven't been here for 20 years, or maybe this is our first time in a Catholic church, doesn't matter where we are, there is no place where God won't go to save you. God does not say, you come crawling back, and when you're ready, I will then love you. There is no place too broken that God won't heal. There is no place too dark that God will not bring His light. There is nothing you can do or say that God will not redeem you and love you. His mercy is inexhaustible. His mercy is greater than anything broken that you can do or commit or receive. He will simply give you good love. And so that is our prayer today. Recognizing that's all we desire in the heart of our hearts. And today at this Mass, God is coming. And in this altar, in our Catholic faith, we do not believe that in a few moments we are going to eat bread and wine. No, Jesus Christ said at the Last Supper, this is my body, this is my blood, and He cannot deceive us. It is not a symbol that is going to become His body and blood. The true and living God is going to live inside of your very body. So you no longer live this simple, mediocre human existence, but you live like God with His love. And so all we have to do is receive, recognize that our life, our journey, is not about us seeking God, but about God seeking us. All we have to do is be found. And when we're found, that's life-changing. That's life-changing. So let's make that our prayer today. God, as we receive You, recognizing that You are not coming to yell, You came as a baby. Babies are weak. They can't condemn You. They can't judge You. All they can do is love. So as you receive communion, allow yourself simply to be found. If that's not the good news, I don't know what is.